everyone. Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer, Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story, an especially interesting essay, or some philosophical quotes or thoughts, or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. And given the fact that we will be celebrating a very important Hallmark holiday tomorrow, Mother's Day, I thought we'd read a little essay about moms, written by the very talented Garrison Keillor. Of course, he's an author and radio host of A Prairie Home Companion. And Garrison writes about moms, "Let's talk frankly about you and your mother." Garrison writes, "I'd like a word with you about your mother. I realize that Mother's Day is a fake holiday perpetuated by the greeting card industry and the florists, but it's here to stay, so make the best of it. And it's time you did something nice for your mother. I bring this up in advance of Mother's Day so you can plan a little bit and not roll out of the sack on Sunday and fritter away the morning and then dash over to Mom's and on the way pick up a cheap box of chocolate-covered cherries at the gas station or a gallon of windshield cleaner or whatever you were planning to give her. Cheap chocolates are not appropriate for your mother, nor is a bouquet of daisies marked down 50% at the convenience store. What you owe your mother is a sonnet, a 14-line poem in iambic pentameter rhymed, just like Shakespeare's, when in disgrace with fortune in men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state. Look it up. You can do it if you try. Your mother loves you. She has loved you from day one. She loves you on your good days and your bad. She was on her way to Broadway, and Hollywood was taking a look at her when your father got her in a family way, and she put glamour and fame behind her and had you instead. Think about it. All that pain, and then out you came. Not the high point of her day, believe me. She changed your poopy diaper when the stench was such as to make strong men dizzy. And when you hopped up and ran off, leaving a brown trail behind you, she mopped that up too. At a certain age, you put everything into your mouth. Dirt, coins, small toys, cufflinks, and when she stuck a finger down your throat, you refused to vomit. Nothing would come up. All she could do was pour Listerine in you and hope for the best. But if she tried to coax you to eat green leafy material, then you would throw up quarts of the stuff. And she'd clean it up and take you in her arms and comfort you, although your breath was rancid. You were not a bright child. I realize that you think you were in the accelerated group, and that was your mother's doing. Her great accomplishment was to protect you from the knowledge of your own ordinariness. The rest of us knew. You didn't. Nor did you realize the extent of your bedwetting. 3 a.m., you sat in a stupor while Mom changed your urine-soaked sheets, tucked you in, and sang you to sleep with If Ever I Would Leave You from Camelot. She loved you through the dark valley of your adolescence when you were as charming as barbed wire. You surrounded yourself with sullen friends who struck your mother as incipient criminals. Her beloved child, her darling, her shining star, running with teenage hoodlums, but she bit her tongue and served them pizza and sloppy joes, ignoring their countless shortcomings. When you were 17, when other adults found you unbearable and even your own aunts and uncles looked at you and saw the decline of American civilization and the coming of a dark age of arrogant narcissism unprecedented in world history, your mother still loved you with all her heart. She loves you still today, despite all the wrong choices you've made. Don't get me started. Go write your mother a sonnet. It costs you nothing except some time and effort. Do not buy her chocolate. She doesn't care for it. She only pretended to for your sake. Do not take her out to dinner. She has eaten plenty of dinners with you, and one more isn't going to be that thrilling. She might prefer to snuggle up in a chair all by herself and watch Singing in the Rain and have a stiff drink. You do know your mother drinks, don't you? Ever wonder why? Now, get out a sheet of paper and a pencil. Here's an idea for a first line. When I was a disgraceful and a complete outcast. You take it from there. Garrison Keillor, let's talk frankly about you and your mother. It's a good line. You were not a bright child. I realize that you think you were in the accelerated group, and that was your mother's doing. Her great accomplishment was to protect you from the knowledge of your own ordinariness. The rest of us knew. You didn't. Oh, that's funny. Garrison Keillor, in honor of Mother's Day. On Mother's Day is an interesting holiday. It was originated by Anna Jarvis, who passed away in 1948. She was from West Virginia. And she was concerned about the neglectful treatment of mothers by their adult children. The first American Mother's Day was May 10th in 1908. Flowers are traditional. Red carnations, a symbol of a living mother. White when a mother has died. President Woodrow Wilson made it official the second Sunday in May, and that's why we're celebrating Mother's Day. So that's kind of interesting, some facts about Mother's Day. I thought we'd dedicate our show today to Mother's Day, and we certainly have some great sayings by mothers or about mothers. This is very touching. From Maureen Hawkins. Before you were conceived, I wanted you. Before you were born, I loved you. Before you were here an hour, I would die for you. This is the miracle of life. Very touching. Another Jewish proverb. A mother understands what a child does not say. From Maxim Gorky, who's a great Russian novelist. Only mothers can think of the future because they give birth to it in their children. My mother's passed away, but this is certainly about my mother. All mothers have intuition. The great ones have radar. I think she did. I think she had radar sometimes. From the Bible, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Isn't that true? If you want to know what your wife is going to turn out like, look at her mother. Something to remember, huh? You know, you're talking about flowers and some information about different types of flowers and roses. Of course, we buy roses for Mother's Day. Red roses say, traditionally, I love you. They also signify respect and courage. Now, white roses represent reverence, humility, innocence, and purity. They also signify secrecy and silence. Now, a combination of red and white roses signify unity. Now, if you buy pink roses, they symbolize grace and gentility. Deep pink roses represent appreciation, while pale pink roses convey admiration and sympathy. Yellow roses generally stands for youth and gladness. So, all different kinds of roses, but regardless, if your mom likes them, buy them for Mother's Day. Better yet, buy her a rose bush or a rose plant and plant it, or a bunch of them. Give her a rose garden. That's a wonderful thing. I'm sure she would enjoy that, as long as you're the one doing the plant. You're the one doing the planting. I'm sure she would like that very much. We have a fun show today. We're going to talk a little music, classical music, cabaret and jazz, and certainly contemporary music. Of course, Four Seasons are in town with Jersey Boys, and we're going to talk with the young gentleman who portrays Frankie Valli, Joseph Leo Boeri. What a very, very talented guy. As I said before, and I'm sure I'll say it again, that I've seen it five or six times, Jersey Boys, but boy, it's never has been as good as this time around. And if you have the opportunity, it's going to be here for another few weeks. Make sure you get down and see it, because it's just a very, very special musical, certainly by some very talented young people. We had Nick Cosgrove on our show a couple of weeks ago, who portrays Frankie Valli as an understudy for Joseph, but Joseph, very, very talented young man from Southern California, and we'll be talking with him as our second guest about how he made it through Frankie Valli camp. He became one of the stars of Jersey Boys. Well, so we thought we'd play a little music from Jersey Boys. And one thing I want to mention, I don't want to forget this too, is the autism, the 2012 Chicago Walk Now for Autism. for Autism Speaks. The 9th annual Walk Now for Autism Speaks is a fun-filled, family-friendly event and is our single most powerful force to fund vital research that will lead us to the answers we need. Experience the power of thousands united by a single cause by joining Walk Now for Autism Speaks. Autism is the fastest-growing serious developmental disorder in the United States. We need more volunteers to join our fight. Whether this is your first walk or the 9th, take the first step and register. You will not only raise funds, but you will become a part of a fun and supportive family-focused community. Every 11 minutes, another family receives the devastating news that their child has an autism spectrum disorder. So if you want to participate, get down to Soldier Field today and enjoy the day. And it's a great time to walk around and certainly a great cause. We had Tricia Browers on last week talking about Autism Speaks, and a very dedicated lady, as are all the people involved with autism. For information, log on to chicago@autismspeaks.org or call 224-567-8573. You don't want to forget that. 224-567-8573 if you have the chance to participate. Well, getting back to the music of the Four Seasons, one of my favorites. Their first hit. You know, the Four Seasons were four very talented people. Frankie Castelluccio, of course, who became Frankie Valli, Tommy DeVito, Nick Massey, and Bob Gowdy, a very, very talented songwriter, well, from Newark, New Jersey. And their first hit was Sherry back in 1962. Second hit was Big Girls Don't Cry in 1963. And Walk Like a Man was their third number one song, also in 1963. But we're going to start out with Sherry and certainly enjoy the music of the Four Seasons. We'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Four Seasons, their first hit, Sherry. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. KMP Artist proudly presents acclaimed vocalist, actor, and songwriter Spider Saloff in her highly entertaining one-woman musical, The Roar of the Butterfly, at Victory Gardens Richard Christensen Theater through May 20th in a pre-off-Broadway engagement. In the tradition of Lily Tomlin and Tracy Ullman, Saloff portrays eight different characters in this hysterical and moving new musical comedy. The Roar of the Butterfly features a book, music, and lyrics by Saloff. Contributing writers are Jim Sellers, who is also musical director and arranger, and Steve Ramsdell. Pianist is Jeremy Kahn. The setting for The Roar of the Butterfly is the memorial service for Butterfly, an Asian drag queen who has been a colorful and inspirational character in the lives of the attendees. an unlikely and diverse group all portrayed by Sailoff, including a sharp-tongued Scottish waitress, a faded stage star, a hairdresser from South Philly, and a bearded poet. On the line with us right now is the award-winning entertainer, nationally recognized vocalist, popular star of stage, screen, and television, one of the America's classy ladies of the cabaret, an iconic performer who both sets the standard and defines the essence of excellence in music, song, and live performance on stage. Now presenting the Roar of the Butterfly at the Victory Gardens Richard Christensen Theater, 2433 North Lincoln through May 20th, Ms. Spider Sailoff. Spider, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hello, were you talking about me?
All the way through, kiddo. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm great.
Great response for the show, The Roar of the Butterfly at the Richard Christensen Theater. Congratulations, kiddo.
Oh, thank you so much, and I am thrilled to be in that wonderful space. And I have just enjoyed the audiences so much that have come to opening weekend, which was last week, and we're back tomorrow with two more weeks of the show. So I'm thrilled.
In a pre off Broadway engagement, outstanding, huh?
Oh yes, it's very exciting. We don't have those dates actually secured yet, but it will be happening. Hopefully before the end of this year.
Spider, how do you remember all the characters? How do you do from one segue from one to the other? It's got to be tough.
I'm lucky I can remember my name. No, it really is. It's quite an undertaking, and especially when you've written it, you know, you're like, what did I write? Was that it? But no, it's you know, the process of memorization and mainly being inside those people and inside those crazy people and knowing their every thought, their every action.
But to segue from one to the other, I can see, I mean, you're such a talented entertainer. We've worked together ourselves, and you're on stage and certainly focus on the great job that you do. But to do from one to the other and so fluidly and fluently, I think that's what's so remarkable.
Wow, thank you. Yeah, it is. It is. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty schizo. You know, you're in there and you're just turning into somebody instantaneously and physically looking like another person within seconds and taking on their mannerisms, also their singing voices, because most of the characters sing, and the songs were custom made for each character.
You and Daryl Litch are the only person I know who can do that kind of thing. Now, do you tweak this as it goes? Let's say one night you have something and you think, you know, I'm going to change this tomorrow night. I'm going to tweak this a little bit. Is this a dynamic? It's a work in process?
Oh, yes, it is. And, you know, it's not so much like drastic changes like rewrites, but definitely things evolve as you go on. And I've been fortunate enough to have my director, who is here from L.A., Natalia Nogalich, who has been just such a tremendous asset to the show. She has been working with me and will be here through this weekend. So we continue to take notes and, you know, just refine things as it goes along. And I'm really so glad she was able to stay this long before going back to California.
I would think that there's some people, some performers, Spider, and you've probably seen them and worked with them, that are so myopic that they figure this is the way it's going to be and it's my idea is the best idea. But that's not what's going to make the best show. If you have input from a lot of different sources, you kind of put it all in a pot, stir it up, and say, you know what, this might work a little better this way, and proceed accordingly.
Absolutely. That's the way that we started developing this piece. And when you're developing a new work, you need to do a series of workshops where you actually get feedback from the viewers. And that's what we did over a year and a half in the developing stages. And then you put all that in, you sort it out, you try to figure out what works best. But getting a director that you absolutely trust is a trick in itself, and I really did hit the jackpot with Natalia. She and I think very much alike, but mostly there's a trust level. And, you know, if she says, try it this way, I will try it. Usually I totally agree with her. If we don't agree, we discuss it, and, you know, something else will come out of it. But you can't be in charge all the time. You've got to have that third eye looking at it.
I heard a great description of the show, Spider, a sentimental musical confection. What a beautiful way to describe the show.
Yeah.
Very beautiful way to describe
the
show.
That's lovely.
And the show is about loss and death. Of course, you lost your husband a few years back. And
yes.
Butterfly is a person who's touched lives. Tell us a little bit about her.
Butterfly was a man that I actually knew. This is based on a true story.
Oh, really?
This memorial actually did happen in New York City.
Hmm.
And pretty much the way it's portrayed, some of the characters are not people that were actually there, but they are all based on real people.
Mm-hmm.
But he was kind of a magical and inspiring person. And the whole vehicle is about how one person changes so many people's lives. And also it enters into touching on the factor of loss itself and what you do with it. The point I want to make is that even though you face deep loss, you're not left with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're left with something very special within what that person was to you.
And you're better to have known that person in the end.
Absolutely. It makes all the difference in the world.
Right. When you do your cabaret shows, you're acting up there. I mean, you're just as an actress coming up there, besides being such a talented singer, bar none. You do a lot of acting in your normal shows.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
In a cabaret performance, such as you present, Spider, you can feel the vibes from the audience. You know how the audience is responding, and at that time, instantaneously, you can go one direction or a different direction. When you're up doing a play like this, a one-woman play, which is a great responsibility, how do you react to the audience's feelings or the vibes you're getting from the audience?
You know, you can bend that to a certain extent as far as maybe pacing or energy level or mood, but it's a runaway train. Once you start, you're not getting off again until the ride is over. And that's why live theater is so exciting, because it's never the same twice, but it is a particular pre-written, it is a written piece, and you know, once the act starts, there's no turning back.
Did being an actress evolve out of your cabaret performances, or had you always wanted to be a cabaret?
No, it's the other way around.
Really?
My formal training is acting.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't know that, because when I lived in New York in my earlier career, that's what I primarily did.
Mm-hmm.
I was an actress, and I did a lot of musicals because I could sing.
Sure.
And then I started doing nightclub and jazz work in New York, and then when I moved here, I really moved here as a jazz artist. That was what I did primarily. Ever since I've been here, it's just been concert tours and club work, you know, since I've moved to Chicago. And that's why this is kind of a surprise to a lot of people, but it really is my formal training is acting.
Well, you've performed in intimate jazz rooms, the symphony orchestras. You've been at Lincoln Center, the Algonquin, the Smithsonian Institute, Chicago's Auditorium Theater, the Green Mill, all over the world. Spider, when you were developing your cabaret persona, who did you look up to as a mentor or people that you kind of emulated would like to act as that kind of singer, vocalist?
I have to say probably my number one influence was the very first cabaret artist I had ever seen. I hadn't been in New York that long. I may have been in New York about a year, and a close friend of mine that I was in a play with took me to the Algonquin to see Julie Wilson.
Oh, wow.
And I remember I was just floored. It was just so fabulous, and she was just mesmerizing. Little did I know she would become a close friend and an adopted mom to me.
Really?
But she was just, everything about her was so touching and so real. And, you know, she's got that very, very intimate touch in everything she does. And I remember just being so moved by her. And later on, when I first started to do cabaret, she was definitely a huge influence. And plus some other great performers that have done intimate performing, but more, like someone like Joel Grey is one of my great heroes. I adore him. And I'm an amazing live performer like that. Of course, influences lots of people. But finding my own way, I guess, too, as well as including jazz in what I do, I'm kind of a hybrid, you know. I'm not like a lot of other cabaret artists, and I'm certainly not like a lot of other jazz artists.
Well, you're certainly busier than a lot of my... That's the truth.
From your lips to God's ears.
That's the truth. Yeah. That's the truth. Well, this is exciting. I mean, it's got to be up on the stage like that and get the response that you're getting for the show that you're doing, Spider. It's got to be just very exciting for you.
It's a dream come true to be able to have this much expression of a piece that means something to you, that you wrote, you crafted it, you wrote the music, and you're performing it, and having the audiences have been absolutely wonderful. I mean, it really has been an incredibly rewarding experience.
Well, the audiences always love you anyway. It's just a different venue they're seeing you at.
Mm-hmm.
Based on a true story, The Roar of the Butterfly is a musical comedy tour de force with a message and contains poignant moments touching on subjects of diversity, human loss, and dysfunctional relationships. Essentially, The Roar of the Butterfly is about how one unusual life affects so many others. The script touches upon themes that are close to my heart, says Spider Saloff. It's a dream come true to be able to perform something so personal for my own hometown fans. Spider Saloff's The Roar of the Butterfly comes to Victory Gardens Richard Christian Theater in a pre-off-Broadway engagement through May 20th. On the line with us right now is our good friend Spider Saloff. Spider, I'm going to give a phone number for the theater, which is 773-871-3000. You know, kiddo, thanks for taking a little time and certainly chatting a little bit. Congratulations on the great success you're having.
Me, Al, and I will see you at the Victory Garden.
I will look forward to it. Thanks, kiddo.
Okay, darling.
Talk to you, Spider. Bye-bye. Spider Saloff, one of very, very talented ladies in Chicago Cabaret. Actually, throughout the United States, throughout the world, and she has her own show now, The Roar of the Butterfly, and it's been received so very well by so many people, and I can't help but say it's a great description, a sentimental musical confection. What a beautiful way to describe it. And if you want to see the show, 773-871-3000. Always a pleasure to chat with Spider. We've worked together in some of the Kevin Moore Presents shows, and she's a very, very talented lady. Wherever you see her, she always brings a tear to your eye and warms your heart. Another few thoughts about Mother's Day. The most creative job in the world involves taste, fashion, decorating, recreation, education, transportation, psychology, romance, cuisine, designing, literature, medicine, handicraft, art, horticulture, economics, government community relations, pediatrics, geriatrics, entertainment, maintenance, religion, email, law, accounting, energy, and management. Anyone who can handle all those has to be somebody very special. And she is. She's a mother. Well, in honor of Mother's Day, of course. Okay, imagine this. The Make of America Theater suddenly turned into a bustling vintage diner just off the New Jersey Turnpike, and a waitress comes over and hands you a big bucket of shiny quarters. Now, all you have to do is sit back, insert the coins, and press the play button on some great jukeboxes in the sky. And there, reborn, thanks to the magic of live theater, will be the original Four Seasons, Frankie Valli, Bob Gaudio, Tommy DeVito, and Nick Massey. They will tell you their story, each supplying a distinctive point of view. They will perform their greatest hits, and they will easily work their way back into the hearts of anyone who came of age in the late 50s and 60s. And maybe, just maybe, they'll even manage to find a cool retro spot on the iPod shuffles of a whole new generation of pop music fans. Of course, all this can mean just one thing. Jersey Boys, the 2006 Tony Award-winning Broadway musical, has arrived in Chicago in a supercharged knockout of a national touring company production. Jersey Boys returns to Chicago, working our way back to Chicago. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce Jersey Boys at the Bank of America Theater, 18 West Monroe, through June 3rd. Jersey Boys is the winner of the 2006 Best Musical Tony Award, the 2006 Grammy Award for Best Musical Show Album, the 2009 Olivier Award for Best New Musical, and the 2010 Helpman Award for Best Musical in Australia. Jersey Boys is the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Frankie Valli, Bob Gaudio, Tommy DeVito, and Nick Massey. This is the story of how a group of blue-collar boys from the wrong side of the tracks became one of the biggest American pop music sensations of all time. They wrote their own songs, invented their own sounds, and sold 175 million records worldwide, all before they were 30. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning star of stage, screen, and television, having appeared in the films The Princess Diaries, The Addams Family, and Race to Witch Mountain, protege of both the Hollywood icon Gary Marshall and the legendary Carol King, proud graduate of Boston's Emerson College, performer at both the Academy Awards and the Tony Awards, one of the brightest young stars in the world of musical theater, now starring as the legendary Frankie Valli in the mega musical hit Jersey Boys through June 3rd at the Bank of America Theater, 18 West Monroe, Mr. Joseph Leo Boeri. Joseph, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you for having me, and that's my favorite introduction I've ever had.
Well, that's great. Very well deserved, and that's what we do in Chicago here. But thank you for bringing all this great joy to Chicago, Joseph. What a great time in the theater.
Oh, I know. Isn't it great?
You know, I said as we were talking early, we've seen this thing five or six times, that this is the best ever. It really is.
Yeah. There's something really special about the chemistry of this particular casting of the show and this particular touring company. So I'm very proud and very honored to be a part of it.
You guys must be close friends, or at least close acquaintances, because you can't fake that. And the way you interact with each other, it's very evident that there's a little simpatica going on there.
Oh, yeah. We are way more than acquaintances. We're definitely good buddies, the four of us who play the members of the band. And we might even be better friends than the actual original guys were.
really?
Each other. And we certainly don't have any gambling debt that we're bailing each other out of.
That's true. Hopefully that'll stay that way.
Yes.
Now, the interesting story, Carole King was the one to kind of introduce you to the play. How did that come about?
You know, Carole King is a great lady, as we all know.
A great
singer, a great songwriter, and just an icon and a legend herself. And I had a run-in with her in California back before my Jersey Boys days. I'm from California. I was working on a show, Happy Days the Musical, and I was playing Chachi Arcola, Fonzie's cousin.
Really?
And after the show, one of the performances she had attended, and she's good friends with Gary Marshall, who was directing, and she sort of came up to me and said, you know, there's a show they're workshopping in La Jolla, and it's about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and you should really be playing Frankie Valli. And, you know, I was just stunned that Carole King had pulled me aside and was talking to me. I kind of logged it in the back of my head. Okay, Jersey Boys, Frankie Valli, okay. But, you know, I was busy doing the show Happy Days at the time, and so as an actor, you kind of put those things in the back of your mind, and then when there's an opening, you make an effort to get there. And when I did have some time, I said to my agent, all right, so here's what Carole King said. And, you know, it's sort of been a really interesting journey for me, and it's been nearly 5 years since I've been playing this role.
Joseph, did you know about the Four Seasons? I'm sure you knew about the Four Seasons, but did you pay much attention to them? Because you're a young guy. Maybe your parents did.
You know, I knew the songs, but I had no idea of the backstory, and I don't think anyone does going into the theater, and mm-hmm. that's what makes it such a great experience, is that you have no idea about the real-life story of how they became to be the Four Seasons.
Sure.
But I did know the music, and, you know, we'd sing along in the car on trips down to the beach or whatever, but I had no real concept of how much they changed just music for the world.
You know, it's amazing when you sit back or you look at the playbill and you see all the hits that they had, and you say, how did this Gaudio do all that? How did he come up with all this stuff?
Mm-hmm. It's incredible, which is why the show, you know, has such substance to it, because it's not just a couple hits. It's hit after hit after hit, and then there's that whole page within the Playbill program that says the ones that got away, and there's about 20 to 25 songs that we don't even perform that were chart-topping hits.
Well, I'll bet you if you sang them at the end of the show, people would stick around.
I'm sure they would, but believe me, after 2.5 hours of singing, you know, I think 27 songs, you know, I'm ready for a snack and bedtime.
You know, you have been, of course, in musical theater. You're part of the Troubadour Theater Company out in California.
Yeah, amazing theater company.
You know, I'm just looking at some of the titles of some of their plays. A Midsummer Saturday Night's Fever Dream. Fleetwood Macbeth.
Yeah, so they are known and critically acclaimed and audience adored for the way that they can take a classic Shakespeare or a classic work of literature and then inject it with pop music from your most famous artists like Stevie Wonder or Carole King. We did a Christmas Carole King. And It's a Stevie Wonderful Life and Much Ado Be Brothers About Nothing. So it's an amazing company to be a part of. There's a lot of improv, a lot of audience participation, but there's a killer band live on stage, and we really go through and really do the text from Shakespeare or, you know, Lewis Carroll if we're doing Alice in One Hit Wonderland, which we did. So it's a great theater company.
So you like to get back to it when you get back to your hometown and so forth.
Oh,
and
sure. I would love to do something with them again, and or get them to all do something out in New York with me, or, you know, who knows. But more of the world needs to see the Troubadour Theater Company. It's an amazing night of theater, as is Jersey Boys, but, you know, on a different scope.
Well, maybe between the two of us, we can get Troubadour to come to Chicago maybe sometime.
Okay. All right. Let's work on that. Chicago would love them.
How long have you been part of Jersey Boys, and how long are you signed up for?
I auditioned for Jersey Boys in May of 2007.
Wow.
And it has been a major part of my life ever since that day. I think it was May 22nd or May 23rd. I'm coming up on my 5-year anniversary of auditioning.
Wow, wow. Do you want to branch out? Do you say, well, you know, maybe this is enough. Let's try something else.
Well, you know, I recorded my own album this year, or
right.
last year rather, and it came out last year, and it's doing pretty well actually.
Nothing But Love.
Yeah, it's called Nothing
right.
But Love,
right.
and it's a cover album of some great songs, and I got to work on that with the arranger who arranged all the Four Seasons songs, Mr. Charlie Colello, who we talk about in Jersey Boys. We met backstage when we were doing the show down in Florida where he lived, and we started to talk about the idea of creating an album. And we did, and we worked on it for a long time, and it was released last year, and it's been really incredible to share my voice that's not me pretending to be Frankie Valli, but my voice as just me.
What kind of music do you like, Joseph? Of course, you like the Four Seasons, but aside from that.
I really do like all music. Music has been the constant in my life,
mm-hmm.
and it was a big part of our household growing up. There was music. I think my mom tricked us into cleaning house because she'd put on the Motown hits, and she'd say, and now we're going to clean, and we're going to dance to Motown. We fell for it.
That's what moms do, right?
Yeah. But, you know, all music is great, and the album that I recorded is all based in that Capitol Records sound. We have about a 40 to 45-piece orchestra backing
wow.
me on the album, huh. and it's really lush and vibrant, and it was really spectacular to work on.
What about serious theater, dramatic theater? Is there any interest in that?
Yes, please. Yes. Tell me where to be, and I'll be there. I mean, I, like you mentioned in that fine introduction, I went to Emerson College, and that was an amazing 4 years of my life, and I worked with some incredible, incredible acting teachers and voice work with the Kristen Linklater, who it pretty much wrote the book on how to speak on stage.
Hmm.
And I never studied musical theater, to be honest with you.
Really?
I only studied straight acting. And so, yes, I'm ready to do a very strong, serious role if that comes down the path. What's beautiful about Jersey Boys is that there is so many serious
sure.
scenes and so many emotional places for an actor to go to that I think that's why the show doesn't get stale or tired for me. It's always fresh, and it's always something that I really have to put my complete energy into. And I mean, I'm really exhausted at the end of the night. It's not strictly from singing so much. It's really from the demands of living this man's life.
Well, you're constantly on stage, and I think that, you know, you said you give it everything you got, because although some people have seen it 5 or 6 or 10 times, I don't know, there's that one person who hasn't seen it or seen it for the first time, and they expect that dynamic performance, which you give them.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That is my goal. Yeah.
How are you enjoying Chicago?
I really enjoy Chicago. I think it's a trick the sun is playing on us, where it kind of peaks out for like half a day and then disappears for a week. But that's just my California upbringing, that I see sun and I think it's going to stay. But I've really enjoyed it. Great restaurants here. Been jogging on the lake there. So
beautiful.
Sees me jogging, say hi, stop me, I'll chat.
Well, I hope that everybody's been welcoming, because certainly what you've brought, the joy, as I said before, to Chicago with the whole group is something that we wish you'd stay for a little longer, very frankly.
Oh, well, you know, it's our pleasure to come to Chicago, to go to any city, really, but it's wonderful when we get a chance to spend some time. We're here for, I think we have 5 weeks left. We're here till June 3rd, and it's just great to be in a real city with real people and real culture, and it's all right here, and we can walk everywhere. It's just great.
Well, we should talk. I got to get that the album, or your new album, because it'd be nice to showcase that on our show and get the word out about
it. We'll get that to you.
Absolutely. What more is there to say about Jersey Boys beyond noting this? It is by far the best jukebox musical ever devised for Broadway. You can listen to its score in nearly 3 dozen songs made famous by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons countless times, and never fail to be thrilled by its pure, elementary rock and roll perfection. And unless you have a heart of stone and an inner metronome that needs serious resetting, You'll not be able to deny the working class, street corner romanticism, and gorgeous vocal harmonies that propelled this music from the very start. Jersey Boys returns to Chicago. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce Jersey Boys at the Bank of America Theater, 18 West Monroe, will play through June 3rd. And on the line with us right now is the star who portrays Frankie Valli, Joseph Leo Bueri. Joseph, a pleasure to have you on the show. Delightful chatting with you.
Thank you. I feel the same.
I'm going to give a phone number here for the theater, 800-775-2000. The tickets are hot, and it's a great show, and we've been talking about it for the last few weeks, and people just need to come down and see it because you'll leave a little different than when you walked in.
You certainly will, and we're really leaving on June 3rd. I know when it was here in Chicago a couple years back, it kept extending, but we have to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma on June 5th, so we're out of here on the 3rd.
Lucky people in Tulsa. Before we go, give us your website so people get some information about what you're doing otherwise.
Oh, it's easy. It's Joseph Leo Bueri. That's JOSEPHLEOBWARIE.com.
Thank you, my pal, and a happy Mother's Day coming up, of course, and continued success. Keep enjoying Chicago.
Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Joseph.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Joseph Leo Bueri, what a very talented young man, and he does such a terrific job as Frankie Valli in Jersey Boys through June 3rd. I'm sorry that he said that he's got to leave on June 3rd, but hopefully they'll be coming back again and enjoy the great music of a great and legendary group. Again, for tickets, 800-775-2000. Well, in honor of Joseph, as he portrays Frankie Castelluccio, or Frankie Valli as we know him, go back to the Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons Greatest Hits. Stay. We'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Four Seasons, Stay. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. A few more thoughts about Mother's Day. No matter how old a mother is, she watches her middle-aged children for signs of improvement. Isn't that true? A mother is a person who, seeing there are only four pieces of pie for five people, promptly announces she never did care much for pie. Being a full-time mother is one of the highest salaried jobs, since the payment is pure love. Another quote, a Freudian slip is when you say one thing but mean your mother. A man's work is from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done. Author unknown on that one. Irish proverb, a man loves his sweetheart the most, his wife the best, but his mother the longest. Another one, God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. Isn't that true? Very true. Some special thoughts for Mother's Day. Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra continues its 65th anniversary season with a concert by the organization's 130-member Symphony Orchestra at Chicago's Orchestra Hall, 220 South Michigan, Mother's Day, May 13th at 7:30. Joining the CYSO Symphony Orchestra will be the CYSO Concert Orchestra and guest artists and CYSO alumni Damari McGill, principal flute with the Seattle Symphony, and Anthony McGill, principal clarinet for the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra. CYSO's Symphony Orchestra has earned an international reputation as a premier orchestral ensemble featuring extraordinary young musicians from the Chicago area. On the line with us right now is a nationally recognized conductor, having worked with the Oregon Symphony, the Chicago Symphony, and orchestras across the United States. Music director, having performed at Millennium Park, Ravinia, Carnegie Hall, and Orchestra Hall. Teacher, mentor, proud graduate of the Eastman School of Music and the University of Michigan, and the music director of the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra, now presenting its spring concert in celebration of their 65th anniversary season at Chicago's Orchestra Hall, Sunday, May 13th at 7:30, 220 South Michigan, our good friend, Mr. Alan Takem. Alan, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thanks, Kevin. My pleasure.
Great to have you, and what a great way to celebrate Mother's Day.
Absolutely.
And certainly the McGill family must be pretty talented, huh?
Well, I'm sure they are. I haven't spoken to Anthony and Damare since rehearsal Sunday, but they've got to be all very excited that that the boys are coming back.
And you got quite a celebration, quite a program. Smetana is going to be performed, the Newman, and Joel Puckett. Very interesting.
Yes.
And those young people are all kids from the Chicago Public Schools and the public schools in and around Chicago.
Well, of course, Anthony and Damare are, and Joel Puckett is. I think Newman grew up in New Jersey, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, they're all Chicago folks.
All your performers, or your musicians and so forth?
All the musicians, yes, right. Absolutely. They're all from Chicago and surrounding areas, some from surprisingly far away. We've got a couple coming from Peoria. You know, there's always a few from Northwest Indiana. Occasionally we get a couple of Iowa folks. I mean, people come surprising distances to participate.
How exciting for these young people, Alan, to be performing in Orchestra Hall where all the greats of music have performed. I think Lang Lang is going to be, oh, no, he's going to be at the Opera House, isn't he?
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I totally agree, and I tell the kids every time we have the chance to take the stage at Orchestra Hall to take a moment and consider the people who have sat in this space and played music in this space, and it really is awe-inspiring.
A bit intimidating, I would imagine, but once you get over that and you tap your baton on that podium, they perk up, don't they?
That's right.
Well, what motivates these young people? I think we've talked about this before. Certainly different influences now with young people than there were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and so forth. How do you get these young people going through what they go through, the normal adolescence and so forth, to get them motivated enough to concentrate, practice, and be part of such a world-class orchestra?
You know, it really is surprising, and I don't know if I can say for sure what specifically motivates them besides love of music and the desire for success, of course. I can tell you that the kids that I get to work with at CYSO are also motivated on their own, that I really don't have to think too much about it. And one of the most fulfilling things about working with them is the fact that they are so hungry for the music. You know, they're discovering all these pieces for the first time, and they're really interested in learning all aspects of it, and there's no baggage from previous performances or previous experiences with these things. It really is beautiful.
How often do you get them together so that you can practice?
About once a week, usually. Occasionally we have a midweek event, but generally speaking, I see them on Sunday afternoon and evening.
Are you able to, and over the years that you have conducted the orchestra, Alan, can you see that there's somebody so very special that that person is really going to go somewhere?
You know, you see all the time people that you think will probably go on to do really big things. And it's hard to know, really, because we all have different rates of at which we develop. You know, some people may be doing fantastically right now, but, you know, maybe burn out young.
Sure.
Some people
yeah.
might not be doing quite as well right now, but may blossom as undergraduates. So you can never really tell, but there are definitely... With all the extraordinary talent coming through, I can tell you that we will be hearing from some of these people again.
What's the most fun part of you doing what you're doing with the orchestra? Is it performing? Is it going through the process of starting a piece, learning it all together, and then putting it on the stage?
Oh, the most fun part. Boy, it's all kind of the most fun
part. Is there, that's good to say.
Well, you know, one of the things that's fascinating about working with a youth symphony is that
I have the luxury of this amazing rehearsal time. You know, most professional orchestras will take three, at the most, four rehearsals or five for a very special, you know, especially huge program. But I'll have 12 rehearsals with them, plus whatever other performances, maybe our, including our Labor Day weekend retreat. We could call that 15 or 16 rehearsals in the fall. It's a tremendous amount of time to get to explore these pieces.
Do you get to travel with the orchestra?
I do, and we have taken a number of international tours, and we're getting ready for yet another. This coming up this June, from the 14th to 24th, we'll be touring Spain.
Wow.
And visiting the cities of Madrid, Cuenca, Valencia, and Barcelona.
And I would imagine these kids would not have that opportunity had they not been part of the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra.
Well, I don't think so. And there are, you know, there are lots of ways for enterprising young students to find to travel to various places. But there's nothing like the experience of touring with an orchestra that's going to play some of the greatest halls in Europe and play for basically, you know, really enthusiastic, interested audiences.
And I think that's the key, isn't it? How fun for them to be received by those enthusiastic audiences, whether they are in Chicago or the United States or especially overseas.
You know, absolutely. And it's all part of the experience. It's besides the experience of playing the pieces at higher and higher level every time, the experience of touring is primarily about the emotional experience of being in this foreign place and being real musical ambassadors for Chicago and for the United States and for, you know, their schools. And it's, it's a lot of fun.
What a great responsibility they have. But the language of music is what connects them. Whether they're speaking a different language or a foreign language, that's the music that connects them all.
Absolutely.
What happens to Alan Tinkham in the off season? Where is he going to be traveling to?
Oh, well, you know, I do a little bit of teaching in upstate New York during the summer at a place called New York Summer Music Festival, Oneonta. And I'll be taking a little bit of time off, getting ready for things coming up in the fall.
And looking forward to a great fall season?
Absolutely. Oh, next year's going to be great.
Well, it'll give us an excuse to come on and chat a little bit then.
I hope so.
Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra mission is threefold: to advance and inspire the musical and personal development of young musicians by providing intensive training and unparalleled opportunities; to advocate for involvement in classical music to underserved youth through student-to-student engagement programs; and to amaze, entertain, and educate audiences with thoughtful, innovative programming. To advance, to advocate, and to amaze. Very interesting. In 1946, a group of talented young musicians dreamed of a place where they could come together and perform the greatest orchestral works with each other. Over 60 years and thousands of students later, Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestras is the place where inspired youth begin their journey to become outstanding musicians and leaders of tomorrow. Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra's continues 65th anniversary season with a concert by the organization's 130-member symphony orchestra at Chicago's Orchestra Hall, 220 South Michigan, on Mother's Day. What a great way to celebrate. May 13th at 7:30. On the line with us right now is the conductor, Mr. Alan Tinkham. Alan, I'm going to give a phone number, which is 312-939-2207, extension 31, if people like tickets. Always a pleasure, and what a great way to celebrate Mother's Day. I know that you're celebrating that in honor of yours, and all those young people will be doing the same, and all those mothers will be out there watching them, too, very proudly.
Well, that is true. My mom will be there. All the moms are going to be there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Alan, always a pleasure. Continued success, and let's keep in touch.
Kevin, thank you.
Thank you. Alan Tinkham, the conductor of the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra. What a very talented man. And leading those great young people in music. And that's the universal language. Of course, Orchestra Hall, great way to celebrate. Sunday, May 13th. For information, 312-939-2207, extension 31. I think I'd like to share another essay from Genevieve Anderson from Creed, talking about moms. A day to thank mom for everything, Genevieve writes. I can't help but be awe-inspired by the true meaning of that word, mother. The word demands a certain amount of respect, and as a matter of fact, the title is definitely well-earned. After all, to become a mother, one must take on the responsibility of sheltering a life for 9 months within one's own body. You must not only take care of yourself, but of the precious life within you. Every decision you make affects not only you at this point, but the life of an unsuspecting individual. To bear that kind of responsibility is exhausting, and to bear it for 9 months, a true challenge. That, however, I'm afraid, is the easy part. Once that 9 months is over, if all goes well or not, it's up to the mother to separate herself from the life she has clung to so tightly. The cord must be cut, And where there was one, there are now two very different people, the mother and the child. This is where the challenge begins. Mothering is as unique as a set of fingerprints. No two styles are the same. You will never find two of a kind, for no one can tell someone how to be a mother. It is a job one must deal with on one's own. There's always a lot of advice to sift through, and sometimes there are lots of people to take over when you fail. But to succeed on one's own is a lifelong deed. If you are fortunate, you will realize the importance of your undertaking, and as your child grows, so too will you, learning with every challenge you must help that child face. The ultimate goal is to raise an independent individual, someone who can take care of himself or herself, stand on his or her own two feet, confidently, securely, and happily. The stress you will undergo can only be understood by another mother. When people are grown and have lives of their own, it is the mother everyone always comes back to. What was your mother like? Some of us have buried our mothers before having children of our own. Some have not done that but have no relationship with her at all. Others are close with their mothers and take the journey together. Whatever the situation, the mother is the key. The mother is the piece of the puzzle that glues your life together. She is responsible for teaching you the meaning of love, life, and self. It is to her we look when there are no answers. It is to her we go when life has lost its luster. It is to her we beg for attention, affection, and approval. It is she who demands our respect. She earned it. She deserves it. She needs it to survive. It is the only reassurance she has that she is doing a good job, that she is succeeding in her endeavor. If you are lucky enough to be able to, go to your mother and give her a hug. Let her know you appreciate her and all she has done for you. If things are not right between you and your mother, mend them. It's the least you can do. After all, think of all she has done for you. It isn't, wasn't, and never will be easy. So keep that in mind when you tell her thank you. Some very interesting thoughts, huh, on Mother's Day. And maybe a couple more quotes. A suburban mother's role is to deliver children obstetrically once and by car forever after. All mothers are working mothers. All women become like their mothers. That is their tragedy. No man does. That's his. When you are a mother, you are never really alone in your thoughts. A mother always has to think twice, one for herself and once for her child. Mother love is the fuel that enables a normal human being to do the impossible. My mom is a never-ending song in my heart of comfort, happiness, and being. I may sometimes forget the words, but I always remember the tune. That's very interesting, isn't it? Finally, a little thought about Mom. An honor to you, Mother. Happy Mother's Day. Mother, you know that you are dear to my heart, and because of that, we will never part. Through childhood days of gladness, sorrow, laughter, and tears, we're always there with knowledge to share. Now that I'm grown and able to reflect, I've chosen those qualities which you exude best, be it a winning smile, a kind word, or a helping hand. On you, everyone can depend. So on this special day, Mother, I'm proud to say that it's because of you these virtues shine through. Happy Mother's Day. I love you, Mom, wherever you are. And honey, thank you for being the mom that you are. Well, a little Mother's Day tribute and salute to everyone. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me. And hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially I thank Alan Tinkham, the conductor of the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra, the 65th anniversary season, the spring concert, Mother's Day, May 13th at 7:30, 220 South Michigan. For information, 312-939-2207. Spider Sailoff, The Roar of the Butterfly at the Victory Gardens Richard Christensen Theater, 2433 North Lincoln through May 20th. For information, 773-871-3000. Always delightful chatting with Spider. And finally, Joseph Leo Boeri, who portrays Frankie Valli in the musical mega hit Jersey Boys through June 3rd at the Bank of America Theater, 18 West Monroe. For information, 800-775-2000. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week. And as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day.
How do you not run out of new things to say? And if we know we're always changing, why should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart. It's time you hear her name. I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. But in your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. Be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck then I suppose. The music music.